You're listening to China Africa Talk.
Jambo, ni Bridget akikuletea kipindi kinachohusiana na China na Afrika.
Vous écoutez le dialogue sino-africain avec Bridget.
Everything China, everything Africa.
Olá, você está ouvindo China Africa Talk com Bridget.
سيدتي وسادتي مرحبا بكم في الحوار الصيني العربي مع بريدجيت.
This week we're diving into a topic we've been reflecting on for quite some time, that is media's role in China-Africa relations. That's what our program China-Africa Talk has been doing over 3 years now, bringing a better understanding of what is happening on the African continent and in China from both an African and a Chinese perspective. We are not alone in this effort. Media outlets across Africa are also working to shape their own narratives, challenging the dominance of Western media portrayals. Journalists from both China and Africa are coming together to foster a more nuanced understanding of each other's stories and the evolving bilateral relationship. Today, I'm joined by three African journalists currently participating in an exchange program in China, and we'll explore how they and other journalists from both sides are telling the stories of China-Africa and the growing China-Africa partnership. In the studio, we have Jonathan Marerwa with the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation, Raphael Orni with Diplomats Extra Magazine of Nigeria, and Kader Awes Hassan with Somalia National News Agency. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Bridget, it's a pleasure being with you today. Thank you.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here with you guys and all. And thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you so much for your time. I'll start with you, Raphael. Could you tell us what you do and how often you come across China-Africa related stories?
Well, thank you, Bridget. Basically, I'm a diplomatic reporter. I do diplomacy. So it means every day I come across reporting issue that affect diplomacy, and China is one of my strong area. It's one of the embassies in Nigeria that I gave a lot of attention. So I report China virtually every day because Nigeria, China, we are very good friends and we have a strong tie. China is doing a lot in Nigeria, so I write a lot about China. I cover in a week, maybe twice, I cover Chinese function at least.
Okay. What categories do you find most of these China-Africa related stories in your press? Is it maybe in trade or?
Like I said, generally, we cover the trade aspect, we cover the entertainment, the culture, because we have the Chinese Cultural Center in Nigeria. They do a lot of cultural activities that involve schools, that involve the Ministry of Tourism. Let me just take you back a little bit. Sure. Nigeria-China established a diplomatic relation on the 10th of February, 1971, making it 53 years of diplomatic relation. So, and with this time, it's been a win-win situation. So, a lot of Chinese organizations in Nigeria doing their work and creating employment opportunity for Nigeria. So, indeed, we cover virtually everything. Mm. When there's going to be like a launch of a road, we are there to cover. A lot of things happen every day with Chinese in Nigeria.
Interesting. Let's go over to you, Keda. How much of your work in media covers China-Africa relations? You're from Somalia. How's the situation?
China and Somalia, we're sharing developments, health, education.
Well, what areas maybe do we find?
Particularly, you will find me writing about China on development areas, and you will find about me writing about China and Somalia working on education and scholarships and all that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Jonathan, you're from Zimbabwe. Do you feel enough is being said about China and Africa?
You can't talk of Southern Africa without talking of China. You know, most countries in the Southern African region, you see they went through liberation struggles to gain their independence. And trust me, China was there for them. Mm. Yes. So you'll see that nearly every day, there's something about China that's being said.
Okay. Because you know what? From listening to you guys, you're from different regions of the continent. It seems like something is being done. But on the other hand, in terms of reporting on China-Africa-related issues, do you think we could do more?
Yeah, that is one of the areas that it's really on my mind. Personally, I want to take up as a challenge. We are not doing enough. That is why we have a third party coming in. The Western propaganda keep increasing because African journalists, we've not been having enough reportage. We don't also have enough synergy within the African journalists and Chinese journalists. We need to build that strong cord so that we'll be able to exchange information, exchange idea, we'll be able to have a direct link and tell our own story. Because by the time you rely on Western media, which is a third party, certainly they will report what suits them. So in this era, I'm calling on journalists generally that we should stand up and do more. Let there be more collaboration. For instance, now, let me take you back a little bit back. During the FOCAC in September, we have over 3,000 journalists who were present, and it was you see the way the reportage was done. Yes, the media space everywhere was filled with the news. After then, what next? You see African and Chinese, we are asking questions, we are collaborating. The momentum was everywhere, everyone can feel it. So we shouldn't wait till there's a major program. We shouldn't wait till there's a big program before we do this. There should be this synergy at a point in time so that we'll be able to tell our own story, write it the way it's supposed to be done, put it down so that people, the world, can listen to us. So no longer going through the third party. The third party is not helping us. And that is the area I want us to look at, need to do more. For now, we are doing well, but we are not yet there.
Well, I'm glad you are in Beijing and you are telling your story from your perspectives as well. I remember my professor used to say to me, you know, no one can explain childbirth except for the mother.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you. Let's talk about the program that you guys are on. You all are currently in China on a media exchange program. What was the last story you wrote about China-Africa relations? Maybe we'll start with you, Jonathan.
Yeah, I remember it was only about last week.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote a story on this Chinese investment group that is planning to construct about 1,000 industrial towns in Africa.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the last story I wrote.
That's development there we're talking.
Oh, yes, we are talking of massive development. We are talking of about a budget of about 10 billion for starters starting next year. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
That's quite a bit,
yeah.
Okay, how about Kato?
As far as what Rafael said is concerned, I think we should give a vice versa to China.
Okay. So you want to still talk about
that? Yeah.
Okay.
Because,
okay,
you know, they invited us here for a media exchange.
Yes.
So I think we should give them a vice versa and then invite them back to African countries. Let them experience the journalism in Africa. Mm. Report China in Africa itself. Same as we're experiencing here in China.
What was the last story you wrote about China, Africa relations?
Well, there were two. One I just wrote,
okay,
as a matter of fact. It talks about education system back home. We are now collaborating the Chinese government and the Somali government in education system, the capacity building of students. We want Chinese system to provide education to Somali students.
Okay.
Not just the basic, but starting from universities. That's where we want to start now. The second story is the same as my colleague Jonathan said.
Okay.
We wrote about that, the investment group we went to. They are very interested in investing in Africa. So we are reporting on that now.
Okay.
I would also want to chip in there with regards to the collaboration part of it.
Okay.
I'm very impressed by the Chinese, what they've been doing of late.
Okay.
Because initially, you'll find that the invitations, particularly for the media exchanges, were government to government.
Okay.
But of late, you find that even guys from the independent press, guys from the private media, they're being invited to China.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys were the ones who have been portraying a bad image.
Yeah.
But now they're being given the chance to come to China to see what China is all about.
Mm.
When they go back home or when they're still here, the stories that they're going to write or that they're writing, certainly they will portray a very positive image of China. I think that's a plus for the Chinese government.
Still on you, Jonathan. What was your assessment of how China-Africa relations are portrayed now in comparison to when you started reporting on China-Africa-related stories?
Initially, it was something else. It was only the government media which was portraying a very good image of China. And the private media was just bashing it left, right, and center. Now that the guys have been given a chance back home, they come here for the exchange programs, they've seen what China is all about, trust me, the reportage has changed.
Okay, so the mindset...
It's quite positive.
Okay.
You know, it's not just being a forced positive attitude change. No.
Okay.
But because they've come here, they've experienced it, they've seen it, they've changed.
Mm. So you make it sound like the private media was bitter.
I wouldn't want to say bitter as such, but I think they were living in a cocoon.
Oh, okay.
You see, once you get exposed to something, then you're in a better space to know all about it, and you're in a better space to make a very positive reportage about it.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. Keita, what have been the perceptions and what are your audiences understanding about China-Africa relations? What do your audiences say in Somalia?
The journalists back home focus on news, like let's say if China is involved in Africa, not just Somalia, they immediately pick the news and just start writing about it and talking about it. The media, I think the media side in Somalia now, currently, in the current, like this year, has been in and out. We're sharing everything.
Okay. I can see Rafael is itching to talk there.
I wanted to add to on the issue of the perspective.
Okay.
The fact remains that it's just because of ignorance. When you don't know something, you tend to
just say anything.
To say it. And like I said, the influence of the Western propaganda, misinformation, is what is affecting people back home. I'll give you one scenario of something that happened. To me, I'm talking about practical experience. I bought a phone, Oppo, mention. And on the pack, it was written boldly, not to be sold outside Nigeria. That got me curious. It means it's substandard.
Mm.
It cannot be used in another country. But this phone is produced by China.
Yeah.
However, it's not the Chinese government that imports it.
Yeah.
Get it clear. So it is my own Nigerian brother that did.
Yeah.
They have gone, reduce this standard, and we are taking it back home. So the issue of, like you said, people say anything coming from China is substandard, is because our people are the one giving the measure.
Yeah.
So, but the narrative is changing now. People like us who are here, we are telling people, this is not done. Like I said, that thing got me angry. Not to be so Nigeria, it's substandard.
Mm-hmm.
So it is Nigeria who has asked the organization to reduce such food. So generally, the perspective is changing.
Still on you, Rafael, how is this experience here in China shaping your understanding of China? And how is this information filling the gap in information about China and your country?
Well, back home, people call me Mr. China.
Okay,
so
why?
Because I've been involved in covering China now for a while.
Okay.
My first visit to China was in 2014. And this is my seventh visit. Visit.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say I have more experience. But this time is the very first time I'm staying 4 months.
Okay.
And I've gone to a series of provinces. So it's been wonderful. I've been writing almost every day about what is happening. And I do a radio program as well every week. So I've been reporting back home. So definitely I've been able to tell China better than what I used to know. This time around, the exposure is more. I have first-hand information on culture and the issue of the way China thinks. Some of the terminologies that we just used earlier now get a clearer understanding.
You're more educated.
I am more educated. So I'm more set now to report even more than what I used to do in the time past.
How do we move together in shaping public opinion, and how do we confront the challenges that we've just highlighted here?
What we need to do now is more people-to-people collaboration. Like Jonathan said earlier, if initially it has been government-to-government.
Right.
Now, more people-to-people, private partnership, individual people getting involved, Nigerians, Africans getting involved with Chinese, individually, then with this we'll be able to have to exchange of culture, exchange of idea, exchange of a lot of things. Then with this we'll be able to better our understanding. And don't forget that the government has set the ball rolling. In September, when my president was here, President Xi Jinping, they had a meeting, said now they are upscaling the diplomatic relation from strategic to comprehensive. When you mean something is strategic, that is like it's sectional, is one side, but comprehensive is all encompassing. So meaning now the road is wide open for private individuals to key into it, and with this we'll be able to balance, do more trade among ourselves, talk about tourism, we'll be able to talk about economic impact, and with this we'll be able to get, we can advance forward together.
I also want to hear a bit from you as well, Keita. How do you think we can move together in addressing some of these challenges as a continent, as journalists from Africa?
To me, it's easy. To me, it's very easy. Yeah. You know, misconception and misinformation or malinformation comes from people not having the facts.
Okay.
China has the facts on its own territories. Africa has the facts on its own territories. Journalists always require facts. That's the only
facts,
thing.
Facts,
yeah,
facts.
Facts. So just share the facts. Journalists are the main focal point here. If journalists make sure that China is seen for what it is, not what is told us, and journalists from back home in Africa as a whole continent share the same perspective as we are now experiencing here in China, they will surely tell everyone in their own countries that China is this, but not what you are told, that China is has this different faces. No, China is this, and this is what it does, and this is how it comes in Africa. And you know what? The first thing I liked about when the FOCAC happened and the president was speaking, the President Xi, the thing that caught my mind that I was even focused to write about was that China does not focus on politics or interfering with the governments. China focuses on building peace, building economic cooperation, a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. That's the main point that caught me. So my article was based on a win-win cooperation between China and Africa. So I think if we take this back home, tell people that there's a win-win cooperation, not a win-lose or win 70% was from the West and 30% to Africa. That's not it. Win-win comes from China. That's what now I've seen while I was in China for the past 3 months now. So I believe to my, facts are the most important things.
Let's move on to the development aspect here. I'll start with you, Jonathan. We have seen and read numerous development projects funded by China. What has really been happening on the ground in your country, Zimbabwe, and how do we shape the narrative to the rest of the world?
Like I said initially, you can't talk of development in Zimbabwe without mentioning the Chinese.
Okay.
They've done a lot. They've helped a lot in terms of sprucing up the investment portfolio of Zimbabwe. We have seen a lot of projects coming up. We are talking of dams being built. We are talking of roads being constructed.
And a new parliament building.
That one, the latest gift from the government of China to the people of Zimbabwe. And that's a top-notch building, trust me. The roads to that building, something else. The building itself, it's something else. We are talking of the resuscitation of the Wange Thermal Power Stations, the refurbishment of the Kariba Hydroelectric Power Station. There's a lot. You can't talk of development in Zimbabwe without mentioning the Chinese.
Rafael, when we look at development initiatives such as the BRI and FOCAC, why have most countries considered to be more developed, not helped African countries as China has? We've just heard some illustrations there from Zimbabwe. When we look at developed countries, why have they not been assisted like China?
On the issue of BRI, I have to give you a figure now. In Nigeria, there are a lot of projects going on by Chinese. Even before we officially joined the Belt and Road, Nigeria officially joined Belt and Road in 2018. And within this time now, we have seen the Abuja-Kaduna Railway built by the CCECC. We have seen Lagos Kano Standard Metric Project. We have seen satellite television, 10,000 satellite television. We have seen the Lagos Metro. Lagos is the commercial center of Nigeria. A Lagos Metro project that was launched this September. It's changing the face of Lagos. China is a leader. That's leader in the sense that he knows the way, and he's not just going alone. He's calling other other countries, come, let's move together.
Okay. I get the sense that, Rafael, basically the differences are in leadership.
Yes, it has to do with leadership.
From the proposed cooperation plans by China for Africa from this year's FOCAC, which areas do you feel the most potential towards Africa's development? Probably still in the same
line.
Mindset.
To me, infrastructure. You know, Africa now has like lots of developments going on, but infrastructure is one of the key things I would suggest Chinese government to start from. The basic starting point should be the infrastructure, from roads to hospitals to buildings to schools. Then from there, because since I have arrived in Beijing, I've been noticing we've been visiting several provinces.
Right.
Each one you visit is as beautiful as the one you visited last.
Okay.
If you have beautiful roads, buildings, I think development will just follow. You will just see.
They work together. Yeah.
You see, roads and buildings support the development of the countries. So I suggest they start from the infrastructure, then go from there.
Yes, I see something to add to that.
Okay, sure.
The issue of infrastructure, like you said, this is what I feel should be developed. When, take for instance, the European country, when, like he mentioned, when you move from one province to the other, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
If we have all our country, Africa countries, we have infrastructure put in place, we have good road network, this will help us to eradicate the issue of visa policy. Now, my friend, I can't just freely get up tomorrow, I'm going to Zimbabwe. I need to apply for visa. If we have infrastructure that is building everywhere, this will help us. You know that if I leave Nigeria and I'm going to Zimbabwe, what I have in Nigeria is what is there in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
So the fear of Nigeria is coming to settle in Zimbabwe will not be there.
Mm.
So if we have infrastructure built across board, it will help reduce the issue of visa policy that we have.
Jonathan, still on this issue of FOCAC. During the FOCAC, China announced that all African countries having diplomatic ties with China be elevated to the level of strategic relations, and that the overall characterization of China-Africa relations be elevated to an all-weather China-Africa community with a shared future for the new era. Now, what do you see as the media's role in developing a shared future?
I think both blocks, media from both blocks, have to play their part. You know, we need to have kind of like a win-win situation, a win-win solution. We have both blocks, media from both blocks, reporting on same issues.
All right.
You see, we are here, like I think Kyra said, we are here as Africans, as guys from the Caribbean, Asia Pacific and all that stuff. But do we ever have to have a chance of having the same number of journalists from China coming to Africa?
No, what's stopping you?
No, it's not within us.
I'm sure you will learn.
I think someone has to take the lead. Yeah, someone has to take the lead.
Particularly the leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, it's also up to you. That's where you guys also come in. You're also leaders.
Yeah.
We can only propose. We can only propose, like I'm doing now. We can only propose. And then, so possibly someone has to take the mantle and do the same.
Mm.
Once we have such a situation, trust me, the reportage, everything will change. And then we will help in the equal dissemination of information.
Okay. Yeah. Now, just to wind off our discussions there, I'd like to hear from you all. What were your expectations from the cultural exchange and media exchange programs, like the one that you are in, toward enhancing China-Africa relations? What are your expectations? I'll start with you.
All right. Speaking from a guy who's now working for the national media, I would suggest we cooperate in the way we are doing. The cooperation between the two sides are the most vital thing there.
Okay, so it's the sense that you're saying maybe an expanded cooperation.
Yeah, an expanded cooperation would be very, very vital to both sides, to Africa and China as well.
Okay, Raphael, what would be your expectations from this trip?
Like Kada said, my expectation is that we do more collaboration, not just a one-time thing.
Right.
There's something we call diplomatic jamboree.
Okay.
I don't want to see it as a diplomatic jamboree. Mm. I've been here now for 4 months, and then going back, and after you just go back, some people have been here, that after that, nothing happened.
Mm.
There should be this follow-up. Generally, some countries in Africa, we don't have a follow-up culture, but there should be a follow-up culture. There should be a series of activities to sustain the momentum of some of the things we've acquired. There is the need to push it forward. Even if you're not the one coming back, there should be that link.
Continuity.
A continuity, so that there's something happening at every day. You make reference to certain, then this will help us to be able to get results. It's not just coming to China, staying for months, and at the long run, after you go back, the whole thing went down. I said, okay, I was in China sometime. What, okay, you were in China. What is the result of your going to China?
Yeah.
What has the going to China achieved? Mm. Those are some of the things we should, I think it should be a question we should all go home with.
Okay, Jonathan, what would be your expectations?
Personally, I feel these exchanges should be able to bring out any informed journalist who comes up with a positive piece that promotes the relationship between Africa and China.
Okay, so that's cooperation, yeah. Continuity, and
a win-win type of relationship.
Okay.
Yes.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your insights, and all the best to you. Thank you for all you're doing as media practitioners to enhance the China-Africa relations.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Listeners, don't forget to subscribe to our online newsletter on www.cgtn.com/subscribe/newsletter.htm. Until next time, goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Thanks again. See you next time.